the conveying of the message is necessary. After you convey the message, it doesn't harm you who accepts and who rejects. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا عَلَيْكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ لَا يَضُرُّكُمْ مَنْ ضَلَّ إِذَا اهْتَدَيْتُمْ. Allah says in the Quran, oh, you have believed, upon you is yourself. It does not harm you those who go astray if you are guided after you deliver the message. As Abu Bakr said, he said, you guys use this ayah and you misunderstand the ayah. After you deliver the message, whoever doesn't accept, what can we do? You can never force it upon anyone. It's something that someone does willingly. Okay. Christians, the da'wah to the Christians, the invitation to the Christians. Now, we had already addressed a few fundamental issues concerning the belief system in Christianity, and we provided dear listeners and the viewers with Quranic textual evidences and biblical evidences which support the view held by Islam that Jesus was no more than the Messenger of Allah. He was not the Son of God, He was not God Himself, and that God never has any children. And that God, that Jesus called the people to the worship of the one true Creator, the one who everything should submit to, because He's the only one who deserves to be submitted to, because He's the only one who has total control over His creation, and He's the only one who bestows His favors, the only one who provides, the only one who sustains, and everything belongs strictly to Him. Today, I would like us to look at some of the commonalities and differences between Islam and Christianity. And these should help you a lot, inshallah, in your da'wah expeditions. Islam and Christianity do share the belief in the titles of the six pillars of faith. As you all know, as Muslims, we believe in six things. There are six pillars of faith with which one becomes a believer. To believe in Allah, the only one God, to believe in His angels, to believe in His messengers, to believe in His revealed scriptures, to believe in the last day, the day of judgment, that is, the day of reckoning, and to believe in decree or preordainment, the good thereof and the bad. Six pillars of faith: Allah, His angels, the messengers, the revealed scriptures, the belief in the hereafter, and the belief in the preordainment and the pre-decree of God. Six pillars of faith. These six pillars of faith, even though we share the general title with the Christians, today or tonight, depending on where you are in the world, we will see why we do not actually agree on the essence of these titles the same way we agree on the title itself. I'm saying this because you want to explain to people, to the Christians and others, that our belief... Beautiful. Thank you, Shiva. That our belief in these six pillars of faith, our belief in the six pillars of faith, along with that of the Christians, is something that has to be based on divine revelation. It is not something that we human beings can come up with on our own. We cannot invent it on our own. We cannot formulate it on our own. It is something that must be strictly revealed by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So let us look at these six pillars of faith one by one and see the commonalities and the differences between Islam and Christianity. First and foremost, the belief in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. I actually have some interesting note cards here, because this is based on a lecture I delivered before. Now listen to this now. Muslims believe in a God who neither begets nor was He begotten, and there's nothing co-equal to Him. Nothing co-equal or similar or in His likeness, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And among the things which Allah Azza wa Jal taught us about Himself in the Quran is the following.
وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ وَمَا مَسَّنَا مِنْ لُغُوبٍ.
And verily we have created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and whatever is between them, Afwan, we have created the heavens and the earth and whatever is in between them in 6 days, and no fatigue, no tiredness, no exhaustion touched us. What did Allah say? He created the heavens and the earth and everything between them in 6 days, and Allah did not get tired in the process. Allah did not get tired in the process. That is the quality of the divine being. The quality of the divine being is that he doesn't have human limitations. You and I cannot go on doing work continuously until we take a break and relax in order to recuperate. If we do not recuperate, we will not be able to continue work. One of us may even faint, or you may fall asleep while working if you don't get rest. So human deficiency necessitates resting after engaging in hard work. Now you know, creation of the heavens and the earth is not a joke. The creation of the heavens and the earth is not something easy. Just look around you, man. Look at the heavens. Allah says about the heavens, وَالسَّمَاءَ رَفَعْنَاهَا بِغَيْرِ عَمَدٍ تَرَوْنَهَا. And the heaven, the skies, we have raised without any pillars which you can see. It's a construction. وَالسَّمَاءَ بَنَيْنَاهَا بِأَيْدٍ وَإِنَّا لَمُسِعُونَ. And the skies we constructed with power, and really we would be expanding them. The skies are an construction of Allah. Construction, just like you construct a building. Look at this huge, look outside. I can see the sky right here. I can see it right here. It's huge. It's absolutely huge. You know how difficult that would be for human beings to create a sky, or to construct the skies with no pillars? No pillars at all. It's inconceivable for the son of Adam to ever be able to do this. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala did all of that with no fatigue, with no tiredness touching him. But let me tell you what the Bible says. The Bible, according to the book of Genesis chapter 2 verse 2, please memorize, write down notes, whatever floats your boat. As long as you keep this information somewhere, write it on a note card, memorize it, ingrain it in your brain, whatever. Genesis 2:2. Nowadays, Hyundai, they have a new car called Genesis, but I'm going to make it easy for you to remember Genesis. Chapter 2, verse 2. Look at it. I'm going to read verbatim. It says here, by the seventh day, God completed His work, which He had done. And He rested on the seventh day from all His work, which He had done. Did you hear that? God, after creating the heavens and the earth in 6 days, got tired and He had to rest. In Exodus chapter 31 verse 17, it gives you more explanation. It says, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day He rested and was refreshed." He rested and he was refreshed. So you tell any human being, look, if you had to choose between the two concepts of God, the one in Islam and the one in Christianity, Which one would you choose? Would you choose the one who told you that he created the heavens and the earth and everything between them in 6 days and he was not tired? Or would you choose the one who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days and he had to rest and become refreshed? Which one you think is closer to the characteristics of the divine being? Islam, baby. Only Islam. They can't play with us. They can't touch us. They can't come close to us. And we sweep the competition. This, in and of itself, will destroy the Christianity from the foundations. Yeah, you speak to a Christian and say, listen man, I don't understand how your book says that God had to take a rest. God resting? Does that even make any sense to you? Mr. Amr, or AMR, sorry for having to stop, but saying Jumu'ah Mubarakah, my beloved brother, is an innovation. It's a bid'ah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the beloved companions who were the best to ever practice Islam never ever ever in their whole entire lives ever said to one another Happy Jumu'ah or Blessed Jumu'ah, Jumu'ah Mubarakah. This particular expression is invented by Muslims and we need to leave it alone in order for Allah to love us, because we love the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam practiced Islam. Thank you though for that remark, because you gave me the chance to give that particular message. In the future, please refrain from typing anything. Thank you very much. Going back to our discussion, so we tell the Christian, how in the world did God rest? And why would God need to rest? Isn't God all-powerful? Isn't He irresistible? And if God needed to rest, He created the heavens and the earth, and this is right, this came to my mind right now. Wallahi, right now this came to my mind. I never thought of this before, but that's interesting. Listen to this. Listen to this. If they claim that God needed a rest after 6 days of hard work because creating the heavens and the earth was a major task, so we say, does He still rest every 6 days? Because maintaining the creation is just as, you know, as difficult as creating the heavens and the earth. How many people are on earth that Allah sustains and maintains? How many people Allah can maintain their heartbeat and their blood circulation and their breaths and their living and their death and their sustenance? And we can go on. Isn't that a lot of work? So does God still rest every 6 days? And on the day He's resting, who's running the business? Who's running the business? Who's managing? So, يعني خلاص 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 means that enough. There's nothing to be said afterwards, provided that you understand the concept. I hope that guy didn't leave because of that advice. Allah musta'an. See, if somebody gives you advice in a kind way and you don't like it, you have a problem. I'm going to be very frank with you. If someone gives you a mean advice, okay, yani still you have some sort of excuse because the manner in which it was delivered was mean, you got offended, blah blah blah. Still you're supposed to accept the truth regardless, but yani we But if someone gave you advice, a nice advice, with kind words, and you rejected it, this is arrogance in your heart. And you're supposed to say, Jazakallahu khairan, yes, I am wrong, and I'm willing to correct myself, perhaps Allah will have mercy on me. So please, brothers and sisters, make sure that you ever maintain this humble attitude and accept advice whenever it is directed to you, specifically when, you know, it's for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Correct, Adila. And this is where I made a mistake, and here I get to exemplify my very own advice. I should have avoided the name, but it was spontaneous. I just read it and it was an automatic thing. And the one problem I have is I keep forgetting that only monitors are able to read what is written unless it is approved. This is my problem. You see, anytime I see something written, I automatically assume that everyone else is able to read it. And so I speak based on the fact. Then I realize, and I very often forget, that no one is able to read unless it is approved. So then no one would have known that the brother said Jum'ah Mubarak unless I had said his name, but I thought everyone was able to read it. It's my fault. May Allah forgive me for my shortcomings and forgive you as well. Anyways, the point being, excuse me, Alhamdulillah. The point being, the choice is clear. We choose a God who maintains everything and He doesn't need to rest every 6 days to maintain the creation. Okay. So that shows you that even though we both agree in Islam and Christianity that we believe in God, that God is not the same. The definition of God is not the same. And what is important is the definition, really. The definition is as important as the name. Because, I mean, at least in Arabic, the name is a must. We don't want to give Allah other names. But in English, I mean, you can say God in Islam and God in Christianity. But it's not the term God that is important, it's the definition of God. Right. So that was first. Second, after the belief in God, what do we have? The belief in angels. The belief in in angels. Al-Mala'ika. And the difference here between Islam and Christianity is that Allah says concerning the Malaika, لَا يَعْصُونَ اللَّهَ مَا أَمَرَهُمْ وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. They do not disobey Allah concerning what He commands, and they do everything which they are commanded. So the quality of angels in Islam is that all of them are creation made of light. They are not like human beings, and they obey Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in everything He commands. In Christianity, we have a whole other concept of angels. First, to them, angels are divided into good angels and bad angels. And as you all know, they claim that Lucifer, Satan, he was an angel that was cursed and he became who he became. But they say that he was among the angels. In Islam, we believe that Iblis, alayhi la'natullah, was never an angel. Who knows the evidence? And it's okay for you to reply. I want to freshen you up a little bit after all this havoc we had. Who knows the evidence from the Quran that proves that Iblis was not an angel? Yes, anyone. If you give me the right answer, I will give you nothing. MashaAllah. You know the ayah? Beautiful. Good answers. Surah Al-Kahf. Surah Al-Kahf. وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ فَفَسَقَ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِ. And when we said to the angels, prostrate before Adam, so they prostrated except Iblis. كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ. He was from the jinn. He was a jinni. And he disobeyed the command of his Lord. So the Iblis was never Malaika, because Allah didn't say kana min al Malaika. Allah didn't say he was among the angels. He said kana min al jinn. He was among the jinn, worshipping Allah along with the Malaika. So then the second, the difference then between Islam and Christianity concerning the angels is that we do not believe in the idea of good and bad angels, whereas in Christianity they believe in the idea of good and bad angels, Lucifer being the bad angel who disobeyed God, and you know he was cursed, and the whole story you can find in Christianity. So now you found that so far our belief in Allah is not the same, our belief in the angels is not the same either. Thirdly, the belief in the messengers of God. And here we get to something very, very technical. Let me tell you what Allah Azza wa Jal said about the messengers in the Quran. وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِمْ فعل الخيرات وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة وكانوا لنا عابدين. And we made them leaders, guiding by our command. And we inspired to them the doing of good deeds, establishment of prayer, and giving of zakah, and they were worshippers and slaves of us. So Allah said that He made them, He made the messengers what? Leaders. Pay attention. Leaders. Guiding by Allah's command, not by their desires. And Allah inspired unto them the doing of good deeds. And they were worshippers and they enslaved themselves for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But let me tell you what the Bible has to say about the messengers. Genesis chapter 9. Verse 21, let me type it for you. Oops, that's Genesis, not Genesis, I'm sorry. Genesis chapter 9, verse 21. Noah drank of the wine and became drunk and lay uncovered in his tent. And Ham, his son, saw the nakedness of his father. According to the Bible, Noah got drunk and he got naked, and his son Ham saw his father naked. A'udhu billah. A'udhu billah. You believe this? Nuh, the one that Allah Azza wa Jalla praised in the Quran. وَلَقَدْ نَادَانَا نُوحٌ فَلَنِعْمَ الْمُجِيبُونَ وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ وَأَهْلَهُ مِنَ الْكَرْبِ الْعَظِيمِ وَجَعَلْنَا ذُرِّيَّتَهُ هُمُ الْبَاقِينَ وَتَرَكْنَا عَلَيْهِ فِي الْآخِرِينَ سَلَامٌ عَلَى نُوحٍ فِي الْعَالَمِينَ إِنَّا كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ إِنَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah praised Nuh and said at the end, verily, Nuh had called on us before and we were the best to reply to him, and we saved him and his family from the great calamity, and we made his progeny the ones that survive on earth, and we left a good word to be said about him amongst those who came after. Salamun ala Nuhin fil alamin, peace be upon Noah amongst mankind, peace be upon Noah amongst all the creation. Verily, such we reward the good doers, those who do excellent work for the sake of Allah. إِنَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, he is among our believing righteous slaves. And in the Bible, it says, like you see in Genesis 9:21, he was drunk and naked on the floor. I don't think so. It says in the Bible that Lut alayhi salam, known as Lot in English, he had relations with his daughters, incest. According to Genesis chapter 19 verse 30, I will paraphrase, that both the daughters came to each other and said, listen, we're the only women left here, everybody else is gay, you know, so let us sleep with our father. And they actually slept with, the first one got her father drunk, she slept with him, became pregnant through her father, by her father. And then she told the next day, oh, yesterday I got my father drunk and I had relations with him, why don't you do the same today? And the next day, the next daughter, the younger one, also got her father drunk, also slept with him, and they both became pregnant by their father. Lut, which Allah Azza wa Jal again praised in the Quran, huh? He praised him in the Quran, وَإِنَّ لُوطًا لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ, verily Lut is among the messengers. Subhanallah, and the ayat are too many to enumerate. This is what they say about Lut. It doesn't end there. It says in Genesis 38:15 that Judah had relations, well, he hired a prostitute from the street who turned out to be his daughter-in-law. Judah hired a prostitute who turned out to be his daughter-in-law, yani his son's wife, and they say that these are the grandfathers of Jesus Christ. Same thing was said about David in 2 Samuel chapter 11 verse 1 about David having relations with his neighbor's wife. So we say to the Christian, no, I'm so sorry, I refuse to believe this. I have Allah telling me in the Quran, وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا, we made them leaders guiding with our command. And you come tell me one is drunk and the other one is sleeping with his daughter-in-law and this one sleeping with his daughters, and you say these are the messengers of God, is this really what God taught, what He revealed? No, this is a distortion. And we reject this idea. Because if these were the characteristics of the prophets, then how are the people supposed to believe them? If Noah was getting drunk and naked, then he's giving da'wah to the people. On what basis are they going to accept his da'wah? They can easily reject him and say, look man, you're drunk every day, naked. You want us to accept your da'wah? This would be grounds for them to reject the da'wah. So Allah purified the prophets from all these shortcomings and all these heinous acts. Subhanallah al-Azim. So even though Islam and Christianity both believe in the counsel of the messengers, as you can see clearly, our belief in them is totally different. Fourthly, the belief in the scriptures. Needless to say, we believe in the gospel of Jesus, which we don't have, the Psalms of David, which we don't have, the Torah of Moses, which we don't have, and the Quran, which we have, along with believing in the sheets or the scriptures of Abraham, Suhufi Ibrahim wa Musa. Now we believe in all of them, but the only one that is preserved, intact, and protected from distortions and changes and alterations is the Quran, the book of Allah Tabaraka wa Taala. All the other books have been distorted. The Christians believe in a book which was compiled by many different authors. Most of them are anonymous. The Catholic Bible has 73 books. The Protestants has 66 books. There are so many versions of the Bible. And in addition to all of that, they reject the Quran. So even though they claim that they believe in the scriptures of Allah, their rejection of the Quran entails rejection of everything. So even though we believe in the title, we don't believe in the essence. Fifthly, the belief in the last day. Muslims and Christians believe in the last day. But in Christianity, you find that they don't have really any sound explanation or any sound belief in the last day. It's like pick and choose. So some of them believe in a physical existence of paradise and physical existence of hell. You meet other Christians, say no, it's just like, it's symbolic. You know, hell means you are away from God, and heaven means that you are happy with God, but there isn't a physical location known as paradise and hell. This is unlike what we know in Islam, where it's where the heaven, paradise and hell were clearly described in detail. Similarly, the grave and everything in the grave, everything concerning the life to come has been clearly and explained in detail in Islam. You will find that this is very broad in Christianity. There isn't really a sound definition which you may rely upon. And in Christianity, by the way, some of them believe that only a few number of people will enter into paradise. Not all of them. They say paradise is restricted to some couple of thousand people. I don't remember the actual number. Lastly, the belief in decree. Even though both Muslims and Christians, you know, claim to believe in the title of decree, the only ones who truly understand the decree of Allah are the Muslims. In Christianity, decree is horoscopes, decree is good luck, decree is cross your fingers, decree is superstitions. If you drop the salt shaker at home, someone is going to die. If you walk over your sibling, then he will never grow tall again. If someone opens the umbrella at home, the house is going to get burnt down. be careful of the number 13. Make sure you don't have size 13. If you become of size 13, either gain weight or lose weight. Be either 12 or 14, but never 13. And don't live on the 13th floor. And make sure you're not on the 13th row in an airplane. And don't you dare go on Friday the 13th, anywhere. If you want to die, then you know, Friday the 13th is the day where you know, you embark on something and you can guarantee that. All this is rejected in Islam as superstition. We don't believe in it. We believe in Allah, who is in control of everything. So our concept of decree and that of Christianity are totally different. So my brothers and sisters in Islam, you can see from this that we are at two different extremes and two different ends between Islam and Christianity in terms of our actual essence or the belief in the essence of the six pillars of faith. We share the title, we surely do not share the essence. This information I convey to you, rephrase it if you wish and add some spices to it and some perfume and make it smell and look good, then try to convey it in the nicest way possible to the Christians so that you will show them that truly for them to meet Allah and be able to be granted salvation, they must believe in the six pillars of faith as found in Islam, because the ones found in Islam are the most sound and correct, and obviously the ones that are found in Christianity seem to be pretty much man-made. So if you're able to make this point clear to them, then inshaAllah ta'ala, this will be means for them to become Muslims and to understand that truly what they believe in Christianity is based on human perceptions and human inventions. It is not divinely revealed, as opposed to what we find in the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And with this we conclude our discussion on the belief, the six pillars of faith in Islam and Christianity, or commonalities between Islam and Christianity, commonalities and differences between Islam and Christianity. And I open the floor now for any questions that you may have, so we may address them inshallah as soon as possible. Alhamdulillah. Anyone? If you guys don't have any questions, ma'alish, it seems to be a little dead today. I don't know, perhaps there's a reason. Of course, there's a reason behind everything. please, I don't know if I can take this question without going through the right channel. We have to go through monitor SF. Yes, no violation or no violating of the commands laid down by the monitors, specifically monitor SF. Everyone act accordingly, because I believe that he makes a lot of efforts, Allah khair, whether it's he or she, Allahu alam, to make sure that everything is under order and organized. Jazahum Allahu khairan, whether male or female. Adil, our Prophet said, "Trim your mustache. Trim your mustache." So why some shave it, brother? Well, sister, the reason why is because there are three to four narrations speaking of the mustache. And you will find that they are not the same. You have the term أَنْهِكُ الشَّوَارِبْ أَنْحُفُّ الشَّوَارِبْ أَنْقَصِّرُ الشَّوَارِبْ. Different Arabic words. Some of them actually allude and denote shaving. This is why among the Hanabila and the Fuqaha and the Fuqaha of the Ahnaf, the Hanafis and the Hanbalis hold the position that the Sunnah is to shave, whereas the Shafi'i and the Maliki hold the position that the Sunnah is to trim. So the difference of opinion is based on the understanding of the Arabic words. And the truth of the matter is the Arabic words do entertain the idea of shaving as opposed to only trimming. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Ahlan. Assalamu alaikum. Alaikum salam. When visiting the graveyard, is it okay to recite Surah Yasin Jazakallahu Khair? No, it is not. It is an innovation to recite Surah Yasin at the grave. There's no Quran to be recited at the grave. The sunnah is when you go to the grave, you make the dua of the for the inhabitants of the grave. Salam alaykum ahla diyari min al-mu'minin wal-muslimin wa inna insha'allahu bikum lalahiqoon ila akhir al-hadith. You give them salam upon the people in the graveyard in general, and then you make dua for the people that are, you know, related to you, the grave you are visiting. You don't pray over there. You don't recite any Quran over there, not Fatiha, not Yasin, not anything else. These are from the inventions of people and from the cultural practices. They have no basis in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Next. Why does it feel like I'm having doubts about whether Allah will accept my salah and other deeds? What should I do? Well, you should have doubts. You should have doubts because Allah described the true believers as having doubts. وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْتُونَ مَا آتَوا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةٌ أَنَّهُمْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ رَاجِعُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ وَهُمْ لَهَا سَابِقُونَ وَلَا نُكَلِّفُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا وَلَدَيْنَا كِتَابًا يَنطِقُ بِالْحَقِّ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. Allah said, and those who bring forth what they bring forth of good deeds, while their hearts are trembling, that they will return to Allah. Aisha said to the Prophet ﷺ, oh Messenger of Allah, is it the one who drinks wine and fornicates and, you know, steals? He said, no, Bint al-Siddiq. It is the man who prays, who gives sadaqah, who fasts, but he does not know whether Allah will accept his deeds or not. So, we assume the best, but we don't guarantee that Allah will accept our deeds. Ibn Umar used to say, لَوْ أَعْلَمُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ قَبِلَ مِنِّي رَكْعَتَيْنَ لَتَّكَلْتُ عَلَيْهِمَا لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَقُولُ إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Ibn Umar used to say, if I knew that Allah accepted only two units of prayer I perform, I will depend on them. Meaning, I will depend on them to attain salvation. Because Allah said in the Quran, verily Allah only accepts the deeds of the muttaqeen, the pious. So if Allah accepted two rak'at, meaning I'm from the muttaqeen, if I'm from the muttaqeen, I'm going to paradise. But Ibn Umar could not guarantee himself that Allah will accept two rak'at of his. So it's good for you to feel this way, but don't let the shaitan play games with you until you reach a point where you despair and you say, Allah did not accept my salah, and you start acting silly. No. But remain in that area of worry and concern, so you will never become conceited and you will admire your own self and you will be destroyed in the process. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Next question. Excuse me. A sister had to leave some fast in Ramadan because of pregnancy. Now, can she keep them sometimes on Friday or Saturdays as well? It's a no-no a case to fast on Friday and Saturday only for nafl fast. So, yes. Yeah, you do not... Oh, in terms of making up for fasting, some of the scholars allow that to be done on Saturday because this falls under an obligation which you owe to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So inshallah, she may fast on Saturdays. But actually, let me avoid saying that. Why Friday and Saturday? Thursday and Friday is better. Thursday, it's the sunnah to fast on Thursday. At least you can get two in one. Thursday and Friday. If you combine Friday with Thursday, it's fine. Saturday, leave it alone. Because I just remembered that the obligation here may be because of another, a vow or anything. And I want to stay away from the opinion which is not very popular. So I suggest that you do Thursdays and Fridays, not Fridays and Saturdays, or Saturdays on their own. Wallahu a'lam. Uh, Whoever wrote the Bible while writing, did they invent those lies about the prophets Noah, Lut, or they wrote what people have been knowing about these prophets, or to show that these messengers were faulty, that's why Jesus has to come? But my question is wrong. No, your question is not wrong. Your question is not wrong. Allahu A'lam, of course, I don't know, and we will not be able really to tell conclusively that, you know, the person who wrote it with this intention. You know? Allahu A'lam what they intended. This is what they wrote about the prophets, and we in Islam reject it. Where they got it from, what are their intentions? It's difficult to pinpoint that. Wallahu ta'ala A'lam. Last question, I guess. Can you explain the 6 days of creation because we believe in kun fayakun? Na'am. There is no contradiction between the concept of Allah creating the heavens and the earth in 6 days and the concept of Allah saying to something be and it is. But the scholars say that Allah Azza wa Jal used the 6 days to create the heavens and the earth in order to show the people the importance of these things, and in order to teach the people how to be patient and how to be gradual. And so there is a lesson and a wisdom behind them. Not that Allah Azza wa Jal was unable to say to everything be and it is. Allah could have said to anything, even the heavens and earth, be and they were without in a single second. But Allah did this in order to teach us that this matter is important, and that Allah Azza wa Jal is trying to teach us that we also need to have this concept of patience, of you know, being gradual, going step by step, exerting effort in things that need, you know, are importance. Wallahu a'lam. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. This is what some of the scholars mention as to this possible misunderstanding. Ahlan. Anything else? Okay, had for me. Should we deem all these products haram? Hold on a second. Oh, I missed the first one. Ya Latif. I've been reading about halal and haram cosmetics. In my country, Kenya, we have no halal certified cosmetics. As a married woman, I have to wear makeup. Since I read about this, I've been paranoid about what I apply. For a while, I have gone with no makeup or skin lotion. And this is really hard for me. Should we deem all these products haram unless they are certified? Some say we shouldn't look so much into it. What should I do? Wallahi, this is quite a technical issue. It's a technical issue, and I suggest that you visit a particular website which I trust that has some information on this subject matter. So perhaps the Monitor SF can further assist us by giving you the link to that site on a private note, and then you can actually fetch for the answer there. I've read the fatwa there before. Anything else? That should be the last question. Orale, orale. Next. Okay, it seems I'm sorry. My fault, Monitor SF. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If a woman forgets to cut her hair to exit the state of ihram and remembers to do it only after the tawaf qudum during Hajj, does she have to pay an expiation? No, if she forgot, then as soon as she remembers, she cuts her hair and nothing is on her, inshaAllah ta'ala. Assalamu alaikum, alaikum salam. Is it allowed for us to use colored contact lenses to correct our vision? Jazakallah khair. That should be avoided because this may fall under change in the creation of Allah. If Allah created you with hazel eyes, then keep them as such. If they're brown, keep them as such. If they're blue or green, keep them as such. So, you know, avoid that. just use lenses that will correct your vision without them being colored. Because it's a form of lying to people. It's a form of lying and pretending to have something that is not correct. And it's not like the hair where you can tell that this hair has been dyed with henna or something. This can be very deceiving. And Islam does not entertain this at all. Some Sufis I have heard myself says Prophet Muhammad is alive. What can we tell them, brother? You tell them Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ. Allah told him in the Quran, you are dead. You are dead and they are dead. You will die and they will die. Allah told him in the Quran that you will die. Then if he's alive, then the Sahaba didn't know. The Sahaba didn't know. They prayed janazah on the Prophet ﷺ. Why? They shrouded him. Why? They buried him. Why? Tell them why. The Sahaba didn't know he was dead. Subhanallah, this is an amazing claim. How can people say that the Prophet ﷺ is alive and all the Sahaba did not know that? If he was alive, they would have treated him as a live person. Abu Bakr wouldn't have cried. Umar wouldn't have cried. Abu Bakr wouldn't have given his famous khutbah. Whoever used to worship Muhammad, then Muhammad ﷺ has died. And whoever worships Allah, then Allah is ever living and he doesn't die. He wouldn't have given this khutbah. He wouldn't have shrouded him. Nobody would have cried. Everybody would have been happy. The messenger is alive. He died, alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah musta'an, man. The Sufis, may Allah guide them. Refer to my lecture on Islam halal or halal Islam. Was it again? What was it called? Halal tub. Sorry, halal tub about the Sufis. It's available on halal tub. Should I put on an imama kufi or just nothing? Which is best? What is best is whatever the people in your locality wear. If you live amongst people who wear imama turban, wear a turban. If you live among people who wear kufi, wear a kufi. If they don't wear anything, don't wear anything. That is the best, inshallah ta'ala. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. And I believe this should be sufficient for today. It's almost Maghrib here in Jeddah, KSA. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad, hold on a second, there's a question. Oops. Hi. Uno momento. The last question, but really that would be the last question, please. In a dinner hosted by a Muslim family, women were seated one side and men were seated side, but the dinner was taken from the dining room, which opens to the living room where men were seated. I was asked to take off my abaya by sisters, but I refused politely. Am I right or did I hurt other sisters? How else should I respond? A'udhu billah. Allah al-Azim. Yeah, sometimes when I read these things, I get, dumbfounded here. They want you to take off the abaya in front of men. Yes, sister, Allah al-Musta'an. No, you did not do anything wrong. Yes, you are right. Because the one whom you should be concerned about is Allah, not the sisters. If the sisters are going to be compatible with Allah's rulings, then you should be over-concerned about them also. But if the sisters are going to contradict Allah's command that you only have to worry about Allah, you don't have to worry about them. And the way you respond is with what I told you. Say, sister, as much as I love you, I love Allah more. Allah told me to cover myself before strangers, and you were telling me not to do so, and I have to favor Allah's command over yours. I hope that is clear. I don't think anyone will have anything to object after you say something of this nature. Yalla, let MTS squeeze him in. Squeeze him in. Allah musta'an. Ma'alish monitor SF. I don't want to be... they may make dua against me, say this guy is stingy. He doesn't share his time. Yalla MTS, hurry up, Habibi. Yalla Captain MTS, quickly, quickly. And I think someone else before him said that they came late. Kaylin or something. Kaylin? Assalamu alaikum. Sheikh, when is Ashura? When is Ashura? Ashura is the tenth of what? Of Muharram, which is not now. The tenth of the lunar month, Muharram, Wallahu ta'ala alam. Is it Muharram? Yes, Ashura is the tenth. Tasu'a is the ninth. This is when Allah saved Musa from Fir'aun, and this is the day which Prophet ﷺ used to fast, alayhi salatu wasalam. Next question. Huh? Hurry up, ya Captain Imtiaz. Allah yarda alayk. Okay. معليش monitor, can I accept it from the thing just to avoid? Okay, let's see. Is meat killed by Christian or Jew halal for me to eat? Yes, it is, provided that they slaughter it Islamically. So for them to say Bismillah is not going to happen, so you say Bismillah. But what you need to verify is the manner in which the animal was slaughtered. If it was slaughtered in a manner that is in agreement with the Islamic way, then inshallah you can eat the meat slaughtered by a Jew or a Christian or a Muslim. In the case of a Muslim, you just eat. In the case of a Jew or a Christian, you say Bismillah first. I mean, you say Bismillah anyways, but you say Bismillah with the, because they didn't say Bismillah upon slaughtering it. However, you have to verify the manner in which the animal was slaughtered. If it was electrocuted, if it was shot with a shotgun, if the neck was chopped off, these are all un-Islamic means, and subsequently you may not consume the meat which was slaughtered in this fashion, even if it was a Muslim. Even if a Muslim did not slaughter Islamically, it becomes forbidden for you to consume this particular animal. And so now I think this is sufficient. جزاكم الله خيرا. We look forward to seeing you and hearing from you in the near future, inshallah, like Tuesdays. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد. If I hurt anyone's feelings, please forgive me. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.